Well, and our science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland, has an answer to my why can't we see lightning during snowstorms. He has this answer. It says it has to do with convection. Thunderstorms have vigorous convection. Snowstorms do not. So there's little charge separation in creating lightning. Thank you, Richard C. Hoagland. We'll be back with Robert Felix and your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, along with our guest, Robert Felix. Robert, are you getting any calls at all from, the NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Group, or anybody about these theories?
Not really. I think I'd mentioned earlier that the Marine Technology Society, which does have members from NOAA and from lots of different parts of the marine technology world, are interested in talking to me, and quite a few of their members do agree with what I'm saying. But, you know, they're putting their careers on the line still to say anything about it. Now, I think we're getting closer to the point where it will happen.
Well, I tell you, you sound very close to Jim Berkland, who is a geologist of ours, who lost his job because he said it the way it was. So I can understand how some of these people are a little concerned about their futures.
Well, yeah, but it's happening, you know, and things are being published. Like there was a issue of Discover Magazine about a year and a half ago that was entitled "The Ice Age is Coming," because of that Gulf Stream thing that I was telling you about. Because the Gulf Stream is flowing at a quarter of the strength of just 5 years ago. And scientists at Cambridge University say that could bring much colder temperatures to Europe and to the eastern United States within just a few years. So I'm, you know, they're not calling me, but more and more is being published that makes it look that I'm correct.
Well, I think so too.
And that one is not theory. I mean, the fact that it's flowing at a quarter of the strength is very worrisome. Because they fear that if that happens, it would cut off, you know, food supplies in some of the world's biggest farmlands.
You know, when I was 15 years old in school, I would try to think about the future a lot. I did that. I was kind of a weird kid, Robert. But I got to tell you, I mean, just to imagine the things that have been going on. I mean, just incredible. Landing on the moon, these earth changes, everything else. Hard to believe then as a 15-year-old kid, don't you think?
Oh, yes. How would you have any idea of what's going on? when I was young, I used to listen to Sergeant Preston and UConn.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Yep.
And the first time that I drove through White Horse and realized that I was in the same area where that radio program supposedly came from. Yeah, I guess you've got me thinking about those old times. But yeah, it's hard to know when you're young what all that world is going to bring to you.
When you were a kid, you were listening to Abe Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, weren't you?
Now that's not nice.
Sorry, Robert. Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. And where are you?
Hi, this is Michael in Taos, New Mexico.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
And it's an honor to be speaking with such a trailblazer. But my question is, you predicted a harsh winter, and I was wondering if you feel that Taos will be inundated, particularly with very deep snow, or are you predicating your prediction of massive amounts of snow on historical evidence?
Oh, I don't necessarily think that, you know, I don't want to use the word predicted. I said I wouldn't be surprised if some areas get covered with a lot of snow, but
well, no, I don't. Be a likely spot.
I don't think it would be likely to be in Taos. I think it'll be more likely. I'd say watch the far northeast. Watch Nova Scotia. Watch Europe. I think we'll be seeing it there first.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go next to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Great show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, got a comment and a question. As far as that lightning, when you guys mentioned that lightning and snowstorm, I've seen that in Cleveland, Ohio. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. I'd never seen it. It only hit about four or five times.
Must have been one of those. Must have been one of those wet, heavy snows, I bet.
Yes, it was.
Yep.
Exactly. It was really weird, but I'd never seen that before. But when you mentioned that, I thought I got to call George.
I bet you have driven through some snowstorms.
Hey, you betcha. I've driven through some I don't want even want to go do again.
Let me ask you, as you drive a truck, I guess, right? Because I can hear you rambling in the background there. But going through snow or heavy rain, what's your preference?
I would say, I'd rather have a wet snow than heavy rain. Because I'd like to be able to see. That's my problem.
Yeah, that's true.
If I can't see, I'm dead in the water.
Yeah, a blinding rainstorm will do that to you.
Yes, it will. And I had a question for your guest there. The movie The Day After Tomorrow.
Yep.
Great movie. Now, it's what they did in that movie with the big hurricane-like snowstorm sucking the cold air down from space to land. It's instantly freezing everything. Is that plausible, I guess?
To my way of thinking, no, that part is not plausible. But, I'm one person. But, no, I don't see that happening.
Thank God. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Did you know that movie, The Day After Tomorrow, was based on Art Bell and Whitney Strieber's book, The Coming Global Superstorm?
Yes. And yep. I have read that book, and I agree with a lot of it, but things like that particular one, I don't. But I think we're still both looking at the same sort of thing, is that whatever's causing it, it's coming.
Wild Card Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Maria Stone in Naples, Florida.
Hello, Maria.
I would like to share, first of all, I'd like to tell you how much I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, Maria.
I have been agreeing with your guest all the time for some time now, because when they were boring to put in the pipeline in Alaska, I'm a teacher.
Uh-huh.
I was up there for the summer going to the university. And so when they came back with the borings, from the tundra up way up in the by Prudhoe Bay, they planted them in the laboratory, these seeds in the laboratory, and they grew palm trees. And everybody at the university and all the scientists everywhere came running and talking about it and discussing it. And it was quite an interesting experience.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And right then, I made up my mind that this global warming was not what caused it, that the Earth changes, and even 83 million years ago, we were having drastic changes. And so I just wanted to share that with you, because I thought it was one of the most interesting things. And I don't know what they did with the palm trees, but these things were 6 or 8 or 10 inches tall before the summer was over.
That's great. Thanks, Maria.
Welcome. And thank you for the wonderful programs, George.
Okay.
And sir, I intend to get your book.
Thank you very much. Okay, go to my website or wherever.
If you can get into it.
If you can get into it, yes. Right. IceAgeNow.com.
By the way, it's an easy read book also, Robert, so you don't bog it down in a lot of technical stuff.
Well, one of the things I did when I was writing is I did read the whole thing out loud to myself so that I could make sure that the words flowed and that there was good rhythm, which helps a lot when you're trying to read something. And you're right, I tried to have it so you could read it quickly. there's a lot of fact there. I mean, there's a 28-page bibliography to back up what I'm saying, but I still try to thank you for saying that.
Is there a sequel to this coming out?
Someday.
When we're 20 feet under snow, right?
Yes. No, I want to write more about what the magnetic reversals actually will do. So that's probably the sequel.
Well, I've got the title of your new book anyway. You can take it. It says, I was right. That's it. Just, I was right.
That would appeal to a lot of people, I'm sure.
East of the Rockies, it's your turn. Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, George, it's an honor to talk to you. I've talked to Art, I've talked to Ian. And
well, now you've made the trilogy. Here you go.
Yes, sir. I got a few questions to ask your guest,
okay,
there, Mr. Robert. And if you would allow him to answer per question.
All right, let's go one at a time.
Okay, one at a time. Are you a climatologist, sir?
Nope.
Are you a geologist?
I have trained in geology. I've taken courses in geology and paleontology.
And what's the question? The question was, are you a geologist?
You know, I don't need to answer abusive questions.
Okay, are you a meteorologist?
I don't need to answer your abusive questions.
Well, let's find out where he's going, Robert. He's just probably looking for your background.
I'm looking for your expertise, sir.
I'm waiting to see where you're going with this.
I'm just asking where you get your expertise from.
Where I am getting, I spent 8.5 years full-time researching and writing this book.
Writing
full-time.
A book?
Yes.
So you're trying to sell a book, basically.
I am trying to let people know that the next ice age could arrive any day.
Okay. And I appreciate what you've done, and I'm all for it. And I think it was my grandma on the phone a while ago, first to call back for me, if it was. Hi, Grandma. But, sir, I just wanted to know. That's a simple question. George, thank you for allowing me to ask him that, and I sure do appreciate it.
Okay. Well, see, Robert, he was complimentary. He just wants to know
I
your
guess
background.
I,
you're a little too sensitive to
him. I was a little bit too sensitive. I agree with you, George. And maybe I can explain it a little bit more then, is because, or how I got to this, is that I did, when I started out, I thought I was going to write a book saying that that a meteor killed the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And as I studied that and studied it, and I did spend like 4 days a week at the University of Washington Natural Sciences Library. So, I do have a 28-page bibliography where I have quoted more than 200 scientists, and it's now been, what, it's been 8 years, and I have had no scientist disavow what I said.
Well, see, I can echo some of your feelings is because academia, because you may not have the title or the degree in a specific chosen field, they assume you don't know what you're talking about.
They do, and you know, I don't blame him, and I've quieted down a little bit here, and I apologize to that man from Colorado. Because, yeah, I don't have the credentials that I need to have academia agree with me, and so I am sensitive.
Well, but even those with credentials don't know.
Well, the thing is that I do believe that I will eventually make a huge contribution, and the main contribution, not the Ice Age, I mean, other scientists agree that ice ages come and go in a cycle. That is not my contribution. I think my eventual contribution will be the idea that underwater volcanoes trigger the ice age. That, because in all of the research that I've done, I have found only one scientist, E.L. Krige, who was a geologist. He was head of the South African Geological Society back in 1929. He is the only one I could find who believed that underwater volcanoes could heat the seas and cause an ice age. To me, it seems so obvious. And I guess the fact that I am not a part of the mainstream scientific establishment allowed me to see that.
Well, just so you'll feel better, Mary from Hilo, Hawaii says, you don't have to be an ologist, because you've done the research, you can be an expert. You don't have to have the ologist title.
Thank you, Mary.
How about that?
Thank you, Mary.
Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
This is Johnny Burns.
Hello, Johnny. Where are you?
Wait a minute. I got a fix for you.
There you go. Truck driver extraordinaire. Where might you be, Johnny?
Right now I'm in Indianapolis.
All right. Go ahead.
The question I got is, when do you think this ice age will take place? See, I happen to live in Wisconsin, and I'm a Texan, and I don't deal with cold weather real good.
Well, bearing in mind that I'm just, this is one man's opinion, but I believe that it will start within the next 20 years. I have other scientists. There was a man who unfortunately has passed away, Theodore Landscheidt, who is one of the world's greatest climatologists, who predicted that the next ice age would begin within 30 years. So I'm saying very soon.
The secret is you own a snow shovel company, Robert, isn't it?
What I want to own is a generator company or, snowshoes or...
I tell you, if we get that kind of snow, there's nothing we can do. You couldn't shovel fast enough to keep up with it.
No. No, the thing to do is not be there when it comes.
You know, I used to be so frustrated in Detroit. I'd go out and it would snow a little bit. And Dad would say, George, go shovel the snow. So I'd shovel it, and I thought, hey, this is great. I'm done. I can go out and play with my buddies. And 10 minutes later, you had 6 inches of snow again.
Either that or the snow plow goes.
Yeah, and he would always look out the window and say, George, you didn't shovel. So you'd have to do it again. In this case, it just keeps coming and coming and coming, doesn't it?
Now, I'm hoping the way it starts, there'll be huge snowstorms that we begin to realize that it's coming, unless there's one of those super volcanoes, and then it'll just continue.
All right. Well, the book is called Not by Fire, But by Ice. His website is iceagenow.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And believe me, it's well worth reading. And this is a book he wrote 8 years ago.
Yes.
8 years ago. So stay with us. We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls when we make this curve home on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. We'll be right back. I was just emailed a story about New Jersey and what happens when the ice sheets melt and everything else. Basically, they say the forces of nature can be severe along coastlines as sea levels rise. Coastal storms penetrate further inland, increasing the vulnerability of these areas through the loss of wetlands, increased flooding, and the increase of saltwater intrusion into major aquifers. This reality must be accepted and planned for to ensure a secure future for New Jersey. Then they have a picture, by the way, of the Statue of Liberty out there, and say this is what it will look like if the Antarctic and Greenland ice sheets were to completely melt. And all you can see is the arm, the torch, and the head. The body is all but covered by water. Welcome back to Coast, our final segment now with your calls and our guest, Robert Felix. Well, Robert, exactly. I mean, you say we're in it now. So what are the signs for people to say, you know what, he's right?
Well, because glaciers are growing, we see the pictures on the TV and read about the melting glaciers, and some are, yes. But glaciers are growing right now in Norway. Glaciers are growing in Canada. Glaciers are growing in Ecuador, in Russia, in New Zealand. All 50 glaciers in New Zealand are growing. In the United States, Greenland, Antarctica, Baffin Island, Iceland. But it's being hidden. There was an article that came out in July that the title was Base on Skis Wins Polar Contract, and then it takes about 10 paragraphs before it finally gets to mention that the reason they're building this Antarctic base on skis is because the snow is accumulating at the rate of 5 feet a year, and that the previous four bases were all buried. The snow is accumulating in Antarctica. Snow is the glaciers in Greenland are growing, and all we hear about is the ones that are melting. The Antarctic ice sheet covers about 2 million square miles, and the Greenland ice sheet covers another 700,000 square miles. Put them together, they are 100 times bigger than all of the rest of the world's glaciers put together. The Antarctic ice sheet and the Greenland ice sheet are growing thicker. So what I'm saying is that 99% of the world's glaciers are growing, and all we hear about are the ones that are melting.
So if that's the case, though, then we don't have to worry about coastal flooding, right?
If they would grow fast enough. The only reason we would have to worry about coastal flooding is if lava pours into the sea. Other than that, no. Other than that, sea levels are just going to go down.
All right, west of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, this is Carl in Tucson.
Okay, Carl.
I'm a truck driver. Right now, I can't blow the horn. My wife's asleep. Don't want to get hit from the bunk.
We'll give you a pass on that one.
Okay. Great show. Great show. Robert, I love the work you've done, and I just can't get enough of you.
Thank you, Carl.
I have a question and a comment. Has anybody ever measured how much snow weighs per square foot?
Oh, I'm sure they have, but it would all depend on how much water's in it.
Okay. Okay, I just wondered if maybe you knew off the top of your head or whatever.
No.
But as far as lightning in a snowstorm, back in 93, I live in Alabama outside of Birmingham, and in 93, you know, we had the huge snowstorm that came through Alabama. I had 18 inches of snow in my backyard.
Wow.
And that night, the worst night of the snowstorm, it would get light, and it would start. It was like the light, the intensity of the electricity in the snow, because it was such a massive storm, would build and build and build, and it would get lighter and lighter and lighter. Then all of a sudden, it was like somebody turned a switch off, and you could hear the thunder.
Huh.
And they termed it thunder snow, is what they called it, because there was no direct discharge to the ground, but the electricity was enough, you know, the storm was intense enough and the snow was heavy enough falling at that time that it did have electricity in it.
And you were there and you saw it?
Yes, sir, and I've seen it a couple of different times across the country, you know, getting in different snowstorms, Wisconsin and in Colorado both. Well, one time in Flagstaff I saw it.
That's great to have. George, it's so great to have people that have seen these things and that can call in and say it.
Well, here, by the way, an inch of rain weighs 5 pounds per square foot. How does that make any sense?
Yeah, so that would mean that 5 pounds per square foot, that would mean what?
That's a 10-inch snowfall.
Well, yeah.
I'm trying to think. A gallon of water weighs 8 pounds. I know that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So probably around 10, 12 pounds, I guess, would be the amount, right?
Probably would. But again, it depends on how wet it is. Because
right.
I've growing up in Vermont, I've certainly seen snow so light that you can just blow it with your hand, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, like traveling across country, I've seen all kinds of carports, awnings over service stations and things like that. You know, when I've got in massive snowstorms out in Wyoming and places like that that have collapsed from the snow.
Oh, absolutely. In the Seattle area, I guess it was about 4 years ago, they had huge snowstorms, and I think about 180 boats ended up being crushed because the boat sheds collapsed on top of them.
All right, thanks for your call. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Tawny. I'm calling from Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, hello, Tawny.
Hi, George. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Tawny.
The last caller kind of touched on what I was going to touch on. March 13th, 1993 is when we had the storm of the century on the East Coast. And I, too, was caught up in that in the North Carolina area, the western part of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
There was lightning and thunder. And I was 6 months pregnant at the time, and if it hadn't have been for the fireplace, we would have probably frozen to death. But I remember my husband at the time had to open up the window, shovel the window, you know, the snow away from the window off the deck to go out on the deck to get the snow away from the door to open the door because we couldn't even get out the front door. That's how deep the snow was.
Wow, that gets scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it was anywhere from 4 feet to some places 15, 16 feet, depending on where you were. I think we had around 8 or 9 feet. I was a little northwest of Asheville then.
Uh-huh.
So it does happen, and that's what they called it, was, you know, thunder snow. But it does happen, and it's lightning and thunder.
I love that. It does happen.
I hate to disagree with Mr. Hoagland, but I've seen it twice myself, then and again a couple of years ago.
Don't disagree with Mr. Hoagland, or a lightning bolt will come down on you.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
All right. Thanks for your call. But
thank you very much for all the work you do, and I've enjoyed the show, and y'all have a great night.
Okay,
thank you,
you
Tony.
Too. You know, Robert, the one topic that everybody always talks about is the weather. I'm on a plane yesterday. The guy sitting next to me talks about the weather. I'm in an elevator somewhere. A guy talks about the weather. It seems like the weather happens to be, and if we polled people, one of the top conversational pieces of all time, the weather.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in a lot of cases it's pretty safe to talk about the weather, unless I'm talking to somebody who believes in global warming, and then it's not quite so safe.
Yeah, good point. Next up, first-time caller line on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hello, this is Carlos in North Hollywood.
Hi.
Good morning, Jordan.
Carlos,
Robert.
Sure.
Hi, Carlos. How's it going? I wanted to ask you about a question related to the underwater volcanoes. There's a news story I heard recently about volcanic activity underneath polar ice caps on either Mars or the moon of another planet. And I was wondering what you would figure that we'd be likely to learn about those, and as well as our own underwater volcanoes, you know, by basically learning about each of them.
Well, I have read a couple of articles in the last couple of years about global warming on Mars, which I kind of doubt is caused by humans. But yes, Mars appears to be going through the same sort of thing that we are going through. I hadn't heard about the volcanoes. Now, I have heard of, on some of the moons of I think it's Neptune, but or I'm not sure now, but I know that there are ice volcanoes
like actually, Europa, maybe being on Jupiter's moon.
That's probably where it is. Yeah. Yes, where they actually have ice volcanoes. So it doesn't, you don't necessarily have to have heat to have a volcano.
By the way, a story on Monday that Europe's Cryosat spacecraft is about to launch on a 3-year mission to study the Earth's ice caps. Satellite's main objective is to test and quantify the prediction that global warming is causing ice to thin at the poles. Scientists hope the data will give a clearer picture of the impact of rising temperatures on ice and ultimately global sea levels. So that's going to be an interesting mission, Robert.
That will be.
Next up, you said a butt. Go ahead. You want to finish?
No, I'm sorry. I just said that would be interesting.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dr. Will. I don't want to sound like I'm a smart, smart fellow. First of all, Robert Felix, you ought to be given an honorary doctorate. You've done a fantastic job.
Thank you. I'm
a retired PhD chemist. I've lived in northern Minnesota, born there. I've seen lightning during snowstorms, but the snow has to be rather moist and wet. And we've had here even in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, I've looked at your website. I have to congratulate your webmaster or whoever. You have kept your website up to date. There are fantastic sites to click on and look on. The readers, the listeners, etc., you PhD scientists, you must congratulate this man for doing what he has done. Do not throw Robert Felix into the garbage can. Look at his website. yes, keep your mind open. It's a great world, and it's fun to read people and learn about people like Robert Felix. Now, I want to be a little bit of a contrarian. I've spoken with Don Anderson. He's a retired seismologist, California Institute of Technology. I've talked to the professors here at the University of Wisconsin, et cetera. We really don't know how the interior of the Earth is built. There may be phase density layers in the molten mantle, and as the heat of the core comes through these, like thunderstorm clouds rising up through one phase density layer into the next, like kettles of oatmeal porridge on a stove. The heat goes up through the kettles, finally comes to the top. And now I'm going to use a word. You and a lot of people use the word cyclic, but it isn't cyclic. It's fluctuation. And there are some times when the heat builds up and comes to the crust under the oceans or on land, and yes, it just blows. Yes, and we get a tremendous fast warming, and these mile, 2 mile high glaciers melt very fast. Other times, the heat does not come up, and we get into an intense cold period. One, for example, was so cold that as a human being evolved, it survived, just barely survived, like the snow monkeys in the mountains in Japan, standing, swimming in warm littorals. Maybe only 100 of our kind survived, just barely survived. We became furless. We are the great swimmers, the great divers. Unlike the apes, we can swim across the English Channel. And yes, stride upright and kiss our sweetie. We are so different than all the apes. Yes, the heat from the core of the Earth going through the phase density layers in the molten magma fluctuates, doesn't cycle. And we don't quite understand how and what's going to happen. You have done a great service, written a great book, but we may in fact be going into a warm age rather than an ice age. A warm age rather dramatically. Keep tuned. You've done a good service there, George, and coast to coast for having this man on.
All right, sir. Thank you for your comments. Thank you want to react to that fine, eloquent speech?
Well, Robert? He said he was going to be the contrarian, and I certainly appreciated his compliments. I appreciate that. I still do believe that there is the cycle. It does show up in the geologic record. But, of course, in between the cycle, I would agree that there's a lot of fluctuation.
Wildcard line, you're up with Robert Felix on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Good evening, George.
Yeah.
I have to listen to that gamma, so I lost my train of thought. First, I was going to say, I hope you are writing right now. I was thinking back trained government dolphins would be a good strip for a movie.
It would be.
Yes.
It would be.
Okay, my question is to your guest. Since he believes or don't believe that the global warming caused by humans is the problem, do he think that we should still continue to use fossil fuels and burn fossil fuel at the rate that we are using them?
All right, fair question, Robert.
Yeah, that's a fair question. Yes, but I don't think that fossil fuels are creating a problem. And by the way, I'm not being paid by any fossil fuel company. But I just don't think that humans are contributing to this to any degree that causes any problem at all. And I like clean skies. Don't get me wrong. I don't like smog, and I don't like particulate matter in the skies. So
I always said that we contribute, Robert, but it's negligible that this was going to happen anyway.
Yes. Oh, yeah. This is going to happen anyway, and I don't think that we could speed it up or slow it down by even a year in either direction.
Let's go back. Final call. I think we'll have time for one more quick one. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Paige. I'm from Sioux Falls. I'm actually driving through Iowa tonight.
Okay. Paige, drive carefully and go with your question.
I certainly will. Actually, I had less of a question and more of a comment for you tonight. I lived in Sioux Falls since 96, and in 1998, I can't remember the exact date, it was in the middle of October, though, that we had a storm with thunder and lightning and about a foot of snow.
But it must have been wet, one of those wet, heavy snowfalls?
Actually, it wasn't really. We had quite a few people, you know, who had no idea how to drive in it, and they were skidding around because nothing like this has ever happened, you know, in the middle of October before. Mm-hmm. But I don't recall that it was, you know, the real wet, heavy stuff, just a regular kind of a snowfall. But the actual, I heard one man earlier describe that the sky would get lighter and kind of discharge. This was more like the regular lightning that you see in a thunderstorm.
All right. Well, I guess, Robert, it happens occasionally.
It sort of sounds like it does, doesn't it?
Of course, I haven't witnessed it.
No, and I'm trying to think that I don't think I've witnessed it. I've lived in snow country a lot. I was born and raised in Vermont, and I lived in Alaska for quite some time, and I went to college in Minnesota, but I don't recall seeing it.
I lived in the Midwest all my life, never saw a tornado, and I know they happen.
Oh, boy. I'm glad I haven't seen one of those.
Well, Robert, let's check in with you come wintertime and see what's happening.
George, I appreciate you having me on and helping get this word out.
Absolutely. Good luck. The website again, iceagenow.com, whose theory, Robert says, that we are in the middle of an ice age right now, that it's just beginning. So we'll see what happens. But no, he does not work for a snow shovel company, by the way. Stick with us, because all week long, we've got great shows for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.